Agenda item number 9, Rappahannock Oyster Company.
Getting ready to say good morning, but I'll say good afternoon. Happy spring, such as it is. Warming up nicely. I continue to have issues with technology, hoping to become management someday so I can have a staff to do it for me. Please bear with me. Apologize for that delay. This is Rappahannock Oyster Company requesting authorization to cover two existing open pile deck structures with an open sided roof, two different roof lines. Construct open pile decking over what's currently a 30 foot wide by 80 foot long wet slip area adjacent to their pier, and install six mooring pilings to secure a 60 foot long by 30 foot wide floating paddle wheel design upweller barge at their existing oyster aquaculture facility on Lockleys Creek in Middlesex County. The project is protested by several nearby property owners. This is the project location. As you're leaving Middlesex County across Grays Point, Rappahannock River Bridge just to the north, Rappahannock River, Parrot Island, Lockleys Creek comes up in this direction. Rappahannock Oyster Company is a commercial oyster aquaculture operation that's been in business since approximately 2008. I found out just the other day the business has actually been incorporated, or they have been in business since 2002, but they've been using this facility at Lockley since 2008. That's my understanding. Applicants are here, they can correct that if that's not accurate. Their land-based operations at the site, and this is the site of the old Lockley's Marina that was damaged in all the storms we've been talking about, Isabel, Ernesto, probably Floyd as well. The land at the facility is owned by Croxton, 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 LLC, and it's the site of not only Rappahannock Oyster Company, but a restaurant slash tasting room called Marar, and it's still, in some form or fashion, a marina, although it's not Lockley's, called Lockley's Marina anymore. With their oyster aquaculture operation, this is the pier in question. This is a building over the water that's been in existence for some time. This is one of the existing marina piers, and this is the site of their land-based and transition area from the water for the oyster aquaculture operation. This is Marar Restaurant, and this is upland facilities that also support the aquaculture, cold storage, building, sorting, packing, supplies, so forth. On January 13th of this year, we received the current application to modify the existing pier structure to include additional roofing, decking, and installation of a floating-style upweller. They had previously been granted a permit from VMRC to install two floating upwellers, flupsies, more the traditional barge-type structures. You can actually see them here. You'll see them in another shot, ground shot. These are the smaller barge-type floating that have a pump circulates the water. We issued a permit for them to install those structures because they are not part of the pier. They are not vessels. They, in fact, are structures that are over state-owned bottom, require authorization. Those were applied for and installed here. Subsequent to that, this area of deck space was requested to be decked over, and these two floating upwellers were moved to the adjacent open water slips. In addition, there was a roof line proposed over this deck, and a roof line is now being proposed over this deck here. In addition, they had previously, with the previous application, you see this round structure here, that's actually a spat-on shell tank with a raw water intake coming out of Lockley's Creek. They were drawing water out through a pipe that was unauthorized. We got them to get that pipe authorized where it extended beyond the bulkhead out into the creek, and that was part of the prior application. My understanding, it's understanding of staff, the latest request is partially a result of the growth of the business and also in response to a requirement from the Department of Health Shellfish Sanitation to provide shade over livestock product while it's being handled, sorted, graded, packed, so forth. As I mentioned, the property was previously Lockley's Marina. At the time, we met actually on site for a pre-application meeting, and I discussed with the applicants and others present that essentially these remnant piles and piers need to go. I mean, these, when they purchased that parcel, they purchased the remnants and the liability associated with that marina. At least it was our understanding that that does transfer in title, unlike a vessel that was maybe maybe stayed here but was not owned by the marina, the previous marina. So this goes back to at least two storms and maybe more. So at any rate, I had discussed with them, asked them what their intentions were as to removal of a lot of these derelict structures, and it was described to me that they do have some plans to expand or rebuild the marina at some point in time, actually using big money, boating infrastructure grant money, if it all works out. That's not part of this proposal, but it's part of the site. And I said, well, you know, we may have to work around some of that to get rid of some of this in conjunction with what you're doing here. So they were aware of it from an early point and, you know, or have plans to address it at some point. In addition, this will come up. That's actually the mast of a sailboat that remains, the last remaining sunken vessel that never was removed after the storm. I'll go through the rest of the slides. These are the application drawings, just a vicinity map. This is what we have currently. This is the, they say, covered decking. This is actually the building. This is the open decking that used to be where the flupsies were. Flupsies are now here, the current smaller flupsies. This covered decking was applied for under the last permit, as was this open decking, as was the raw water intake, you know, on the out at the point. So this is the existing facility. This is the applicant's boat ramp. Just adjacent to the applicant's boat ramp is a Middlesex County dock. But the dock belongs to the county, and the ramp is private. It's not a public ramp. Again, you can see some of the remnant piles out here. So what is currently proposed, this is the existing building. There is an existing shed roof here that's been authorized. They want to add a larger roof over this deck area. They want to add a roof over this deck area, both of which will be open-sided, just basically pile-supported, angled, slanted roofs. Come on, there we go. This is currently all wet slips. Actually, this area is currently floating upwellers, flupsies, small ones. All of this is proposed to be decked over. Open pile, but decking all the way down. And these are the different areas where they intend to do nursery activities, harvest activities, seeding and grading activities. Beyond that will be a floating paddle wheel upweller moored to these proposed mooring piles. So again, if you think of it in terms of these were all wet slips with outboard mooring piles, they're basically staying in the same footprint. Didn't transfer very well, but essentially this is an overhead and an end-on view of the proposed paddle wheel upweller. It's similar to, if not the exact same specs, as being used at Cowart Seafood. Mr. Erskine could speak to some of the details of this. I have a photo, a stock photo that we have of that actual upweller. So now I'm looking, my back is to the river. This is the existing building. They want to deck out over, I'm sorry, they want to roof out over the newly authorized and constructed deck on the south side of the building. This is now that same, this is now looking due north. This was a roof that they applied for and the commission approved over an existing deck. Now they want to expand that roof, open pile. They will remove that deck, and now the entire deck, they will remove that roof, and now the entire deck will be covered. Just standard design drawings, open pile. Again, all decking. Recent aerial photograph flying into Lockley's Creek. This is Norris Bridge going over to Lancaster, Rappahannock River proper. You come into Lockley's Creek. This is Regent Point Sailboat Marina, and actually just inside this cove, Vims has a hatchery, oyster hatchery as well, so it's kind of a multi-use area. This is the Lockley's facility. Now I've flown around a little bit. This is the county wharf pier, if you will. Private ramp, existing decking to be roofed over, existing decking to be roofed over. These flupsies will go away. The roof, this area out to about here will be decked over. This area here will be the new paddle wheel upweller. And you can see the remains of the old Lockley's Marina and that sailboat. Ground shot standing basically at the base of the county dock, looking at their land-based facility, land-based part of their operation, which is land-based over water. Again, now looking in another direction. So one of the roofs, let me go back. So this small roof, shed roof, will actually expand to cover the entirety of the deck here that's over Sebaqueous Bottom, state-owned bottom, as will a roof coming out this way over top of this decked area. This is all stuff that's just being stored during the off-season. These were last month, I believe, or earlier in the month. Just to give you an idea of what goes on here, they go out, they plant their oysters on bottom in cages out on leased ground. They bring the cages back in, transform to the upland, sort them, grade them, little guys go back overboard, market size go to market. This is the one of the two floating upweller systems, and if there's a better term for that to distinguish it from a paddle wheel upweller, it's a flupsy. Floating upweller system. There's both of them. These are the different bays. Hold the nursery stock looking toward Regent Point Marina. This is, I believe, the Cowart Seafood floating paddle wheel upweller system, which is actually a barge that is like a donut. You got the floating structure, and then you have all of these tanks and the upweller itself that is lowered down into the perimeter float system. And you have a gantry that moves back and forth. None of this is to be covered. None of this decking here that is proposed will be covered. No roof, just deck. Again, just to give you an idea of some of the activities, some of the constraints of their space. Again, I would let the applicant speak to that, but I don't know that this is a common occurrence. I think this is more of a winter occurrence. Their grader, which is undercover for health department. Okay, so just to maybe belabor the point, these flupsies will go away. Decking would come out to about here. Floating upweller would be here. New roof over this, new roof over that, open-sided. I hesitate to draw on my drawings because I can't draw very well. This was actually supplied by the applicants to show what Lockley's looked like back in the day. You can kind of tell what's not there anymore. This is not only a, not only piers, but there's actually a breakwater of stone and some timber structure here. But this is all open pile decking. This is basically what remains today. This is all gone. And maybe one of these is that sailboat, maybe that one, I don't know. This is all gone. I will leave that up, if you don't mind. The project is protested by several residents in the area. Mrs. Doris Rogers submitted a letter dated February 9th of this year indicating she felt the application was incomplete. She listed water quality, watershed health, noise, light, odor, among other elements of pollution. She also indicated safety issues with the increased commercial and public traffic being one of her concerns. Mrs. Janet Lee Miller submitted an email and memo to staff on February 10th expressing her concerns the application was incomplete. The proposed construction would occur directly in front of her property. She's concerned how the proposed changes will impact the creek and feels the new owners of the property have changed it from a quiet marina to an industrial entity and restaurant. She lists issues related to parking, noise, smell, and she requested that an environmental impact study be included and a public hearing be conducted as part of the VMRC review. Mr. Ryan Croxton submitted an email response to Mrs. Miller addressing her concerns, which he copied to staff and is part of your packet. Mrs. Dolores Miller, Janet's mother, also sent an email on March 5th with a memo dated February 10th expressing concerns related to much of the same issues, changes to the natural environment, safety, zoning, and local laws. It is noted that both memos indicate that they were copied to Matt Walker, the Middlesex County Administrator, as well as the Middlesex County Board of Supervisors. In addition, staff received a letter from Roger Gaylord Hopper on March 11th representing the Millers, Mr. Dolores Miller, Janet Miller, and Elvin Miller, filing objection to the application. His letter expressed concerns related to zoning, adjacent county public dock and landing, and riparian rights. We've also received several recent emails that I didn't include. They're in your packet, but I didn't include them in this write-up. On the 23rd, we received a letter from Mr. Hopper stating that he has a scheduled hearing in circuit court in the city of Richmond and that he would not be able to attend, not because I am disinterested, but because I have no choice. That doesn't appear to staff that he's asking for a continuance or a deferral. Continuing with the issues, Virginia Institute of Marine Science, Lyle's office, indicates the additional decking proposed will have minimal adverse impact on the marine resources in the area. They also indicate the local flushing potential at the site appears sufficient to prevent the higher levels of nutrients and organic material, which would be expected from the larger upweller. They don't believe that that's going to become an issue for the benthos or the water column. Essentially, they're putting a whole lot more animals in the water in this location than they currently have, which will generate more organics, but the flushing, according to them, appears to be adequate. The Department of Health Shellfish Sanitation indicates that ROC is a certified shell stock shipper and has no opposition to the modifications described in the application. DEQ says the proposed expansion would require a Virginia Pollution Discharge Elimination System, VPDES, seafood processing general permit, but ROC currently has that permit. Their letter goes on to say if they expand, they'll need one, but they already have it, so you can read their letter, and it took me a couple of tries to figure out what they were saying. There is not a Virginia Water Protection Permit required from DEQ because the proposed construction is authorized under a general permit issued by the Army Corps of Engineers, for which DEQ has waived their authority under Clean Water Act, I think. Department of Conservation and Recreation indicates the project will not adversely impact natural heritage resources in the area, nor will it affect any documented state-listed plants or insects. I further asked them what those resources are And it's the peregrine falcon nest on the Coleman Bridge and tiger beetles over on the Lancaster County shoreline across the river. Middlesex County Wetlands Board did not require a permit for this project since there are no proposed direct impacts to the intertidal wetlands under their jurisdiction. Everything is channelward of low water, state-owned subaqueous bottom only. In addition, staff to the board indicates that the current zoning for the property is waterfront commercial, and activities permitted by right include marinas, shellfish and finfish processing, seafood sales, docks, and restaurants. That letter is item 4 in your book if you'd like to see it. Summary and recommendation. Applications for structures along and over the water to support shellfish aquaculture operations have increased concurrent with the expansion of the aquaculture industry in the Commonwealth. This particular operation has been in business for over 7 years and seeks to expand to better supply demand for their product. While some of the activities involved in shellfish aquaculture are not necessarily water dependent, i.e. not necessary to occur over state-owned bottom, grading, sorting, growing seed in nursery tanks, you can do all of that on the upland. So it may not meet the commission's definition of water dependency, but the applicants have provided a narrative of their operations and have attempted to demonstrate their desire for this expansion, the need for this expansion over state bottom land. Clearly, the paddle wheel upweller is a water-dependent structure, and there is no physical expansion outside the current footprint of the piers and slips. Again, just to everything will be within this footprint. It's already there. The opposition to the project identifies the familiar concerns of noise, traffic, smell, parking, etc., which staff believes to be more properly addressed at the county level through the Middlesex County Zoning Ordinance. In this instance, the property zoned waterfront commercial appears to allow all of the activities that are currently ongoing at the site. The county has also taken the position they do not require activities over state lands. I'm sorry, they do not regulate activities over state lands adjacent to lands that are subject to their zoning. They don't take authority out beyond low water. It appears that the environmental impacts associated with the proposal would be minimal, and the commission has been generally supportive of shellfish aquaculture operations given the potential economic and environmental benefits associated with a properly run operation. In this instance, the operation is sited at a previously deteriorated marina, and the property appears to be zoned to allow such development. We understand the opponent's stated concerns, but believe the anticipated public and private benefits would outweigh any perceived private or public detriments. Accordingly, staff recommends approval of the project as proposed with a royalty in the amount of $4,500 for the commercial encroachment over the 3,000 square feet of state-owned submerged land at a prescribed rate at $1.50 per square foot for the decking and the roof structures. We would also recommend the royalty of $90 for the encroachment of the floating paddle wheel upweller assessed at the prescribed rate of a nickel per square foot for a total, grand total, royalty of $4,590. In addition, staff is recommending the commission require the applicants to remove all derelict pilings and other failed structures located to the east of the existing eastern dock prior to commencement of any newly authorized construction. So to be more clear, this we're facing east. This faces east. Whatever is determined, I believe these are currently in use, these mooring piles here. These appear to be remnant derelict structures not serving any purpose other than hazard of navigation, and this cluster here as well. In your packet, you will see, on page 2-9, I asked the applicant when we were first on site what their intentions were with all of this derelict structures. They indicated they want to expand and build a marina at some point in time. They indicated they, in fact, had a plan to do such. This is that plan. It's not part of this proposal, but it shows what they would ultimately like to do in the future. When we get an application, it may be completely different than this. I don't know. My concern, staff's concern with this piling cluster out here specifically, was it's outboard of any of the proposed improvements they want to make right here. If the proposed improvements they want to make along here, they will have to remove this if they go with the plan that's there. And again, I don't mean to dwell on something that's not before us now, but these things were discussed and the applicants were made aware of our concerns. Again, our concerns related to the sailboat. We're not recommending they remove that sailboat. We don't believe it's their responsibility. At any rate, we would recommend approval as stipulated on 1-4, believing that the request to remove those structures is not only reasonable, by law it's required. And it's in the law already, and we've got people that can address that more professionally than I can. So with that, I will just be available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Woodward. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Sessions.
This is a little off topic because you touched base on it a second ago, but what happens to the sailboat, the sunken sailboat?
I knew you were going to ask. I knew someone was going to ask. I didn't ever ask that question.
If it wasn't him, it was me.
Thank you. It's my understanding that there were several vessels. The storms came through. I didn't have Middlesex at the time. We had enough damage in Lancaster to worry about. There were several, at least two vessels sunk in the area. This is the only remaining vessel. The other one, I believe they identified the owner. It's his responsibility to remove it. Law enforcement or through some other mechanism, the responsible party removed that vessel. This vessel was identified to be owned by an individual who is now deceased. I don't believe that title transfers like land titles do. I have asked. When Regent Point was doing their work, I said, hey, when you get a barge in here, why don't you guys go in there and yank that thing out of the bottom? Well, it costs a lot of money, and it's not their responsibility. Right now, as I understand it, it's an abandoned vessel, which there are provisions in place to address it. But it's not, my understanding, it's not the responsibility of Rappahannock Oyster Company, like the structures that were a part of the marina. That answers your question.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Ms. Haney.
Did the county have any comments since they have the public pier there? Did the county have any comments?
I tried to facilitate a meeting on site, and the applicants were willing to host a meeting on site, and the county did not want to attend the meeting on site. So what you have in that letter is what we have from the county.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Ballard?
And what kind of activity goes on at the county pier there?
At the county dock?
Yeah.
Right now, last time I was there, this was on the bottom. I don't know who it belongs to. We have numbers. I don't know. They allow mooring in some form or fashion there. I don't know if it's first come, first serve. But that's my understanding. Again, I can't speak for the time.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Ms. Woodward. Is the applicant present or represented? Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God? Please identify yourself, Mr. Croxton.
I'm Brian Croxton, Travis Croxton.
What would you like to tell the commission?
I'm not sure we have a lot to add, and I'm sure we'll have a chance to speak in a second. But just one thing to add for the proposed roof structures that we're talking about putting over the two existing docks, we have modified that to the guy who's building it for us has proposed like a flat structure, which would be hurricane resistant and would have like as minimal profile as possible, which is something that we definitely wanted to abide by as much as we could. Our intention through all of this, and we got into oysters for environmental reasons, is to do something that is beneficial. So hopefully it can be seen in every instance here that we're trying to do something that we have a farm that is agritourism. We invite people to come and look at our process. So we run a process that is as clean and efficient, you know, and for the public's use as much as possible. So hopefully that'll be taken into consideration.
Answer the question about the mooring currently. That's actually county handshake with captains. They take out charters, public charter boats. You know, and we that's their agreement. So, but that's what happens with that. So we purchased the property in 08 due to it being zoned waterfront commercial. All these activities are also allowed in LDR, but we thought that waterfront commercial was bulletproof. As Jay's slides illustrate, there's a tremendous footprint, and we're actually outside of this working on big applications at the state and federal level to just redo the bulkheading so that it can prevent erosion and just clean up quite a bit. But what we're requesting fits in the footprint, well within the current footprint that we have. And instead of having 10 work boats lined up with the height way up here, the floating upweller will have has a low profile, so the view from the adjacent landowners is actually better than it would be without this. So that's all I'd say. We'd like to rebut after their comments.
And just to add about the boating infrastructure grant, which we should hear about in the next couple of months, it is strictly for transient traffic. We're not looking to build the marina up to have more. We've already cut off all the boat ramps now, so we don't have traffic. And you had asked about the boat that's not got. It's an eyesore to us as well. It's just a very expensive eyesore to remove, to the tune of about $7,000 to $10,000. We've had it priced out. We would offer, and this is, you know, obviously for you guys to judge, but if we could have an offset maybe in the royalty, we could be responsible for getting the boat up when we do the pier, because we'll have stuff mobilized at that point, so it won't be $7,000 to $10,000. There ought to be barges there, but it'd be more like $4,500.
Or we'd like to build a bar around it.
Yeah.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you both very much. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to be heard in favor of this proposal? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to be heard in opposition to this proposal? Please come forward, sir. Please raise your right hand. I need to swear you in. Do you swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self to God?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record, please.
My name is Elvin, E-L-V-I-N, Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Please proceed.
My background is I have carried a operator or captain's license for charter boats for 40 years. I've operated out of the old Loch Ness Marina, and I've operated out of the county dock. And I represent the local people and the people at the county dock. Our problem is with this part.
He's going to have to stand for the mic
Mr. Miller, I need you to stand at the microphone. The entire session is tape recorded.
This is a picture of the Loch Ness public landing at a busy day. You can see 7 or 8 boats there. This goes this way. My father, 50 years ago, was instrumental in having this designed as a public landing. This picture is probably 7 or 8 years old. Depends on the time of the year, of how many boats are there. Seasonal. Sometimes it's lots, sometimes it's only, like today is 5. There are five boats at a day. Three of them are licensed charter boat captains. And that's where they make their livelihood. The pier is strictly a single 8-foot pier, so whatever it is, and to load and unload passengers safely, either they have to be laid alongside or across the end. And if it's anybody there, you mostly get across the end. It that takes a lot of space for maneuvering and for a turning area, a radius in there. So let's go back 28 years ago when I built my home there. The BMRC reduced the length of my dock, I think 20 feet or so, because of the public marina, public dock. So it already hit us on that part. So our concern is the maneuvering area for the public dock county. And so with them putting the new upweller and the tie pilings off of that, I would suggest, or we are, things that would be approach upon their area we use for maneuvering. So that's one problem. The other problem is the oyster ground from Mrs. Miller's house extends out to that area, to the public, to the Croxton's dock. We have engaged a certified marine surveyor to see how it encroaches, how much, and how much the new tie pilings would extend further into that further area. So that hasn't been decided yet. But we've got these people to go working on it. And I'll show you the picture again.
It is a busy place at times. Sometimes it's not. And we just don't want to be hindered from public landing as far as space to maneuver 40-foot single-engine boats that are not very maneuverable. And we should take that into consideration. And you can see up on, using their chart, you can see the five boats there at the public dock today. And you've got to turn and go and lay across the end to unload your passengers. You're very restricted in what area you can do either.
Captain Miller, I need you to approach the microphone so we can hear your voice on tape later. Is there anything else you have to add besides the turning radius and the public boat ramp?
Only the oyster ground, which we are still working on.
Okay.
Our lawyer, who speaks much better than I can, sorry he couldn't make it today, but he was otherwise called away. And that's primarily most of my objections to the situation. The way it's set up now, you're trying to put somebody with a number 12 shoe into a 10-foot or 8-inch shoe, so it just doesn't fit. The other question we have is that the upweller, is that part of the purview of the board as far as a permit, or is that not included in this? So that's it for me.
Thank you, Captain Miller. Is there any questions from the commission?
Yeah, I got a question.
Mr. Zeter.
Mr. Miller, best I can see and what I understand is that as you go along that existing pier,
if I may.
Here, can you turn this one on?
Well,
can you turn that one on? There you go. Thank
you.
Okay. You got to push down on it and hold it. Okay. Right here, it seems to me that there's existing piling right there. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right. And my understanding from the representation of staff is they're going to take where this building is here. There's already a pier or something right there, right? There's some kind of structure right there. Shit, right. They're going to cover that area. So that wouldn't affect your ability to turn the boat, would it?
It would not.
And then they're going to take and come out here and cover this existing structure here to about here. They're going to move this device over here. Would any? How does that affect your ability to get out of there any different than now?
The pilots that you see there today.
Mr. Miller, I'm sorry. We've got to get you by the microphone here.
The pilings that you see that you have your pointer on were used for small boat slips. If you put a 20 or 30 by 80 structure there, those pilings would have to be moved out towards this area.
And that's what you're talking about. Is it if these are moved out, did they give you a footage about how far they're going to be moved out?
No, that
has not been determined. Okay. What is the depth of the water right around in here?
Anywhere from 2 feet to 5 feet.
What size is that boat?
Probably 45 foot.
Draw about 4.5 feet?
Not quite that much. I don't know exactly.
Do these boats back out here?
They try to.
Around. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Captain Miller. Appreciate your testimony here. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to be heard in opposition to this proposal? Please come forward. Do you swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Janet Miller.
Thank you. Please proceed, Ms. Miller.
I am here today because I feel like this permit application hasn't exactly been well documented and fully disclosed. We were just given this packet like halfway through this hearing. So we haven't had an opportunity to review all the documentation that has been supplied to us as of now. Basically, my biggest concerns here are looking at the overall effect of this project on the waterway as it exists today. I have a background in, I'm very highly interested in the environment and public affairs. I work for the district government as an arborist. Every day I'm doing stuff in conjunction with being a good steward to the environment and making it a better environment for everybody in general. So I can understand the desire to want to do things that are progressive in that manner. However, I'm not sure at what cost to the local environment and the local aesthetics it's going to be at the cost of. You're looking at, an area here that's going to be covered. There's going to be constant industrial activity, related to this production. Already, if you're down there on a quiet Saturday afternoon, you can hear the power washers running. You can't have the windows and doors open. Different times of year when they've got those pots up, you're getting drift from whatever smells is coming from the stuff that's coming from the bottom of the, the creek and river, wherever they're taking these pots from. Pretty much, it's been a disruption, to, say the very least, as far as the operation as a whole. And I can only imagine that allowing these structures to expand that operation into the water versus expanding it into their property is going to, further make that a disruption to us in general because we are the property right here below the county pier. So we're in very close proximity to this, so between the noise, the light, the number of vehicles that are going to be coming in and out of this, in addition to what's already coming in and out of there, it's not just the water that we're concerned about, it's the overall environment and the things that are going to impact that environment. So basically, looking at this document, in my original opposing document, I had cited the environmental documentation. I see a couple of emails in here in regards to, comments from VIMS and other organizations in regards to that. I honestly don't know what those things mean because I haven't had an opportunity to take a look and figure out what that means. It seems to me that, they're just blanket statements. I don't see any data. I don't see any numbers. I don't see anything that actually, addresses how much light is there going to be, how much noise is there going to be, quantifications of these things that, as, someone who's, biologically inclined is interested in, having that quantification. Just saying, oh, well, it's probably not going to be an issue, is not enough for me as someone who resides near this operation. And then, furthermore, we're talking about encroachment on, on the neighbors as far as having their parking operations coming out into the community. As far as their barges being over top potentially our oyster grounds. As far as the riparian rights of people using the county dock or any of the other properties they're facing the operation, at what point is it one of these things where, our rights are going to be, encroached upon so that they can bring their operations out here into the water. And then basically just, the supplemental effects, not limited to the traffic, the odor, the noise, and the potential decrease in property values that could result in having an operation like this put in front of the property. I understand it's waterfront commercial, and I'm understanding that, the zoning does not, in any way say that they can or cannot, it says that they cannot put that there. However, the placement of these docks at this time on this application would allow for them to basically start getting outside of their current landlocked area. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to hear my concerns. And I urge you to, whatever the decision is today, either way, we need more time to review the stuff that's been given to us. Because in the original opposition, I think it was made really clear that we wanted to have this information, available to us to fully understand what's going on here.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Is there any questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Ms. Miller. I just had a question. With the numerous concerns that you highlight, did you have any opportunity to meet with the applicant, or Mr. Woodward suggested that there might be a meeting that the applicant would host? Did you attend that, or did you reach out to them?
It was actually scheduled as of 12:30 this morning. So, no, I have not had an opportunity to attend that meeting with the neighborhood.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Ms. Erskine.
Some of the, as Mr. Zedron was pointing out, some of the pilings that are just below that existing L-shaped pier, mm-hmm. where the applicant has proposed some covering and an upweller, it doesn't seem to me that it's outside the existing footprint that's already there. So is that impeding either your view shed or your navigation from the pier just south of that? I assume that's your pier.
That would impose on our viewshed, as you know, right now, you know, we're looking out onto whatever's there, and then we're going to be looking at, you know, industry. I don't know if you've got the ability to go back, but I mean, you know, looking at that, what was it called, the flopsy or what have you, with all of the, you know, the rigging on top? I mean, that's going to be something that's continually being worked. I mean, you know, there's going to be activity in front of the house all the time. Whereas, you know, with this being a marina, I grew up here. I mean, that's why I'm interested. You know, at some point, I hope to retire here. However, what you're looking at is something where there's been none of this kind of activity previously. Growing up, you know, 5 in the morning till about 8 in the morning, you'd have, you know, a surge of activity, and it'd be peaceful all day. And then, you know, about 2, 3 o'clock, the captains would bring their people back in. There'd be a surge of activity, and they'd go peaceful again. Now the way things are, it's a constant set of activity. And to answer your question, with them having that closed over, they're going to have pilings that are outside of that footprint. And what they've got right there, those pilings are not 30 feet out. What's going to be covered is going to be 30 feet from that dock, is what I understand from the drawings I've seen. So the pilings outside from them, there's going to be this structure. And then away from that, I guess wherever they're going to put the oyster flopsy, you're going to have pilings that are even set up a little bit further at that point. I mean, just as far as, you know, mechanically making that work. I mean, that seems the way it would have to be, right? I mean.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Are there any other questions from the commission?
Yeah, I have a question.
Mr. Zedrin.
If I'm looking at that thing, aren't those pilings out there? Right there? Aren't those pilings out there?
Yes.
That's part of an old dock, yes.
Right, and then, of course, here's the pilings here. And so I'm looking at this.
There's also a gas pump there along that L-shaped pier that goes inward.
Right over here?
Yes, sir.
All right. My understanding is that pier, they're going to put 30-foot come from that. But on the outside of this pier is not going to be covered. Do you understand that?
What do you mean?
All right. My understanding of this drawing is that they're going to cover this area right there. Then they're going to come down this pier a certain way and cover, okay? And then the rest of the pier, to where that paddle up wheeler is going to be out here, and those other steam barges are going to be up here, right? Best I can do.
I understand this isn't supposed to be a solid structure.
Ms. Woodward, could you please interject here to clarify this?
Would you mind?
Yes, please.
Is what we have currently. The drawing is to scale, an inch equals 30 feet. This is what was submitted. This is what's represented as being there. This is accurate. I have not walked out to that far piling to measure it. But what is being proposed is purported to be within, these are the outboard mooring piles for each of the slips that are currently there. This decking is going to be covered with a roof. Now I hear flat roof. Come in 80 feet from here. Sorry. Come in 60 feet from here, which is here. This is a different scale. 1 to 20, 1 to 30. Existing end of pier, 60 feet in by 30 feet wide. Actually, the upwellers slightly less than 30 feet, according to this drawing, in width, is where a floating upweller deck. No roof. It has a gantry. this. These piles, this pile, and this pile, and this pile, and likewise on the far side, are the mooring piles to secure this floating structure.
Within the current footprint.
Well, in this case, inside of those mooring piles. It's not a boat. It's a structure. It needs a permit. They're going to use one side. Come on, baby. Come on. There you are. They're going to use one side, probably with fenders, along this deck. There's two piles, two new piles, and one, two, three, four, probably five, that will allow that floating barge to be tied off and secured in that location. We move inboard of that floating structure. All of this is open water currently, with some mooring piles and some finger piers. This is all going to be decked over. No roof, just decking to here, to where it's existing decking. This decking will have a flat roof, previously proposed as a slanted roof. Sorry. Well, I said slanted. I assume gable end pitched, but now it may be something other than that. I don't know, because we can't. There's been a change that I'm not aware of. Likewise, bear with me. Okay. That is standing with my back, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone who knows better, my back to the river looking west. The existing building, the existing deck, will have a roof over it. Beyond the existing deck, to the south, is boat slips. This is now looking toward the land with my back to the south. This existing deck has this authorized deck has an authorized shed roof here that will be removed, and there will be a new deck. I'm sorry, a new roof, open pile supported roof. It will both tie into this deck. Will have a roof over it. This deck over here, it has a small roof over it, will have a larger roof over it. This water will be decked over. Does that clarify?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Can you clarify whether the existing mooring pilings to the west, I believe, are 30 feet away from the dock, or whether there are going to have to be new mooring pilings?
I have not physically measured those.
Okay.
They are represented in the scale drawing as being, I hate doing this, but that looks to me like about a 17, 19 foot skiff, 3 or 4 feet away from the deck, 2 feet here and another 2 feet there. I have not measured it. What they are requesting is this. Remember where I am. Lockley. This is what is being proposed.
I guess the question that all these gentlemen have been asking is, with this proposed design, compared to what's there currently, is there any increase in boating hindrance? Is there any more hindrance in navigation here with proposed than what's there already?
I can only speak to my...
What's on the drawing, what's proposed.
What's proposed, yeah. In my experience of being down to the site a few times. Frankly, the navigation concerns, if you look through the protests, I didn't really explore that much because
They're proposing to build in the exact same footprint. It was a marina back in the day.
And that's our question. We're hearing navigation problems, and we're not seeing it on these drawings. And so that's what we're asking for clarification. Is there an increase in navigation problems, which I'm not seeing by what's being presented?
I think that's for the commission to conclude. Is there any other questions to Ms. Miller? Thank you, ma'am. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify briefly in opposition, hopefully bringing up a new subject and not retreading old ground? Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God? Please state your name for the record.
I'm Dolores Miller.
Thank you, Ms. Miller.
I understand. I've got the little drawing that they did on from Mr. Thompson.
Will you please move forward and stand in front of the microphone?
You're not working from this, but this is part of the application. If I'm not, Mr. Foxton is going to send this to us, but they are proposing. My question is, you are proposing to move. Is it? Oh, okay. I got what I need. Yes, I got exactly. We're doing a decking here. We're doing a decking here. We have got a 80 by 30 foot application out here, and that is from here to here is what I understand. I mean, as a layperson, this is what I'm seeing. Where is the application for the 20, for the 60 by 30? I do not see it on the application. I'm talking about there.
Okay, the 60 by 30 is...
It's not on this. If the application
I'm not sure what this is.
All right. They've got a 30 by 80 foot dock extension. That is this right here. I got it right there. It's right there. It's right here. Okay. We got the roof. We got the roof. And the mooring piling. So my question is, where is the application for the 30 by 60 feet uplift? I do not see it on the application anywhere. This is the application. What is it? I mean, this is the 80 by 30, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, then where is the 60 by 30? Where is it on this application?
60? That's not the application.
This was the Croxton's response to us via email.
Mrs. Miller, please, you're going off of something that's not part of the application that was presented to the commission that's being reviewed now. You're looking at something that was given to you outside of the application process. The application is in front of the commission that includes this paddle wheel upweller.
Everything I have seen has been 80 by 30. I have seen nothing stating. I mean, may I see an application then that has it says it's a 20, it's a 60 by 30 application? Does anybody have it? That's my question.
This is the application drawing.
Okay.
This is what is there currently.
Yes, I understand that completely.
Okay. This is what's proposed. Allow me.
Okay.
These are the items that they said this is the copy of the application we received.
She's referring to page 5 of the joint permit application, which is a descriptor of what's going on, which is supported by the drawings. And 20 by 30 by 80 by 80 is exactly right.
So it's not part of the application itself, but it's part of the drawing.
It's not detailed in this particular question. It's discussed throughout the application in the justified need. It shows up in, I will go to the commission's packet. If you look at page 2-3 of the commission packet, it is there. If you go to 2-4, it is there. 2-5, it is there. 2-10, and they talk about their operations. It's described. And I'm not sure. We can ask the applicant.
Mr. Woodward, are you implying that it's an oversight on the rough description of the project, that
yeah,
it wasn't included as part of the rough description of the project?
We can get that revised, just as we will have to have revisions on the flat roof that I'm unaware of at this point.
Correct.
It's a moving target, that portion of it. I don't know if that answers your question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, please continue, Mrs. Miller.
I'm sorry to, I get upset, but if we're looking at, we're going to extend this out more really than what we've already got. I mean, we've got another 60 by 30 that we're adding, and that's going to be the upwell. I mean, you can put the one back. When I can stand in my yard and I look out, this one would be fine. My house is right here. And when I stand at my kitchen window or outside of my door, I'm going to look straight out into this. The upweller that you're showing that you're going to have the property, that is going to decrease the property value. Not only mine, my brother-in-law's also. And this thing is going to be constantly running unless I am being misinformed by all this data I have looked up on the internet. This is going to be a constant running thing. I'm going to receive the odor from the pot. What I have received from the Croxtons is they are planning on putting the cages on the dock, which they've got a load of them now. I need to help again so to go back in the second of our picture. The one with all the pots.
No, that's what I'm here for.
This is what it used to look like. I can look out and see, you see that without the pot. Now, the one with the pot. And now, this is what I'm saying. Now, this is what I'm going to look at for my property, and I'm going to see, and this thing is going to be constantly blinding. You know, in due respect, I do ask y'all to take that into consideration and I'll make y'all's decision. I mean, I think if any of y'all had my property and y'all were sitting there and y'all had to look at that and hear this every day, you may have an objection also. One more over to show the pot so that they'll be explored as well. These pots are setting out there now, and you're getting smells from them. And my main thing is, I'm just asking you to take consideration of this being put in front of the property. I do ask that other piece of the 60 by 30 to be looked at. I think that's even bringing it further in front of my residents that I'm going to be looking at. And I go out my door. We already have a traffic problem at the situation down there, and the traffic coming in. I know they're saying, and it's being said, that it's not going to bring any more traffic in and parking. I don't see where it is. I know Marine Resources only looks at what's going in the water, and I understand that. But I would like y'all to consider that there is going to lead more to more traffic problems, noise problems, and environmental problems at the location. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mrs. Miller. Mr. Erskine, you have a question.
I have a brief question, Mr. Miller. I appreciate your concern. What's unsightly and unappealing to you may not be to someone else, potentially the applicant. So it is subjective, but I appreciate your concerns. When you look out across the creek, it seems like there's a well-developed marina, and I think it was Mr. Woodward had a photograph, maybe supplied by the applicant in the 90s. Were you all at that current location?
I
in the nine?
4 years. I got married on my doorstep. So
congratulations.
This piece of property has a lot of value to me. My husband has passed. My son has passed. He grew up in this house.
Right.
And I wouldn't like to think that I'd have to sell my house because of something like this being put there. I am. This is my home. And I, you know, I mean, my next question is there anywhere else on this property that they could probably put this piece of equipment in this upweller if they even bring it around to the front side, like somewhere through here, that it would not interfere with the you know, the property owners on this side of the project? I mean, even if they could bring it out, you know, somewhere, you know, on the east side to see if that would alleviate a problem with some of our concerns.
Well, I guess my question, Mr. Commissioner, my question was about the marina that was there prior to that in the 90s. There was a fairly well-developed marina with a number of boats from that picture. Was that a concern at the time for you all?
No, the marina, at that time, the parking situation that we have is not being brought out here close to us. It was kept down on the marina lot. It was kept down. All the parking and everything was down here. And that's where the parking took place. So it wasn't a parking problem. Traffic, you know, traffic wasn't a problem. I mean, you know, we didn't have big traffic totals. Some of them were, you know, bringing on beer and stuff down. So, but yes, it is a lot more traffic now, and it's a lot more parking, and it's a lot more people that's swimming around. I have, like I said, I've lived there 40 years. I've never had to put a trespassing sign on my property until this past year because I had people coming from the restaurant onto my property, and I come home and I have children coming on my property, and I have to say, hey, you're not, this is not part of the marina.
Okay, thank you.
That there are some of the concerns I have too. That, you know.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Miller. Appreciate it. Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to be heard in opposition to this project? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and a decision. That's true. Thank you, Mr. Holt, for reminding me. I did promise Croxton's a few minutes here to rebut.
Sorry, and this is more to allay concerns because I think there might be some fears that are not necessary. For one, the drawing that we have is the drawing that we proposed. So we asked for 30 feet. 30 feet is the extent of the existing pier there, so it wouldn't go outside of that. So any of the pylons you're concerned about wouldn't go outside of that footprint, and that's per the drawing, so that's all we're asking for. As far as the roof, and I apologize for throwing a curveball with the roof. The roof was more a consideration for viewscape. We were trying to do something that was going to minimize that. If we need to go to a slanted roof, that's fine as well, but we were trying to mitigate that. As far as the navigation, like we said, and we're trying to stay within the exact same footprint of what we have, well within the old VMRC map for the marina, still well within that. We've minimized any of the use of the boat ramp there so that we don't have traffic going in and out. So again, we're trying to minimize that. As far as the noise and the smells and that kind of stuff, all I can really point to is that we're running a restaurant right next to it where most of the seating is outdoors. And we run our operation in a way that it is agritourism. So we are trying to run this in a way that is pleasing. So the odors and the noise and that kind of stuff would be offensive to us and our patrons. So all of that is kept to as much of a minimum as we possibly can. Obviously, we don't want to disrupt the neighbors any more than we do our guests. Do you have any?
Just two quick things. The paper submission that we had included the upweller, and then we feel that the protests are attributed to concerns over the restaurant operations, not the actual oyster aquaculture company side. I think that some of that actually came out in the dialogue today.
And just as that, we don't operate on the weekends, and we don't plan any life on the facility. So we would only be operating during the week, during regular business hours. So
and
just another
consideration. The new design of it, it's silent, unless you're right up on it. You're about 20 feet away, you will not even hear the umbrella at all, so it will have no impact on any adjacent property owners.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you. Now the public hearing is closed. Matters before the commission. Discussion?
I had a question. I guess it's a legal question. You know, as far as the navigation, if part of the as a staff recommendation was to have them remove those outboard piles that aren't being used, to, you know, that's going to improve navigation. But then the applicants themselves offered the possibility of removing that sailboat that's sitting there in lieu of royalties, and I didn't know if that was even something that we can do.
Mr. Watkinson, can you address that for us, please?
Well, I would say the royalty schedule is established by the commission in terms of what we charge per square foot based on these types of commercial encroachments. I don't know that we've ever entertained a proffer of some expense to reduce that charge. I would suggest, in my opinion, that we stick with our royalty schedule, collect what's due to the commission based on that previous decision, and that the sailboat should probably be treated as a separate matter. We hope that the applicants would choose to take that up if that helps their business, but I don't think it should be on the state's dime necessarily, and that's what it would be if we proffered it to have them take it up with the royalty money.
Mr. Zeta.
What if we charge them the full royalty, and then since that boat's sitting on property that we have jurisdiction, is give them credit towards that royalty to remove it? That way, we're getting our clear bottom back, and we've charged them the full royalty.
I mean, there's probably different ways to address it, but my point was that they are paying a royalty to be on state property. That decking space, the roof space, they are enjoying the right to conduct their business over state land that belongs to the public. And the royalty is designed to facilitate a charge for that use. And that will be ongoing. And so I would suggest we collect that to represent that use of state property, and that the sailboat removal should be a different issue and at a different cost.
Any other discussion? Mr. Erskine?
I just wanted a clarification from staff that the question that was brought up about the joint permit application being submitted with the 60 by 30 that was included in the joint permit application, that is, I understand it's part of our packet, but was that part of the joint permit application?
My understanding, and Jay, correct me if I'm wrong, is the joint permit application included the drawings that's been before you today. The 60 by 30 was the paddle wheel upweller, and that's at the end of this existing facility, and that was what we're referring to.
Was part of the
60 by 30.
Okay, and it's part of the
part of the
proposal application. Yes. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Bishop.
Yes, sir.
I think if you look in your packet, it's either 5-1 or S1. The court in their letter talks about that 30 by 60 in there.
Yeah, and they specifically mention it as a floating oyster upweller.
Yep. Mr. Stephens.
I just want to ask the applicant again. Ms. Miller brought up the issue of noise several times, and I think I heard you say this upweller, which I've never heard one before, is not a noisy instrument or machine.
I actually defer to the first connection about as far as like what kind of noise. We're trying to purchase one. We've seen them in action. They're very quiet. The paddles are very slow motion paddle, but I believe the two members have one. So,
well, are they pretty quiet?
Yeah, I would testify that it's fairly quiet.
Any other discussion?
I guess my thing is I just don't, when I'm looking at pictures of the drawings, I just don't see it being more of an eyesore than what's there already. And then most of these complaints seem to be more of a zoning issue. And this is zoned commercial.
It's zoned waterfront commercial, and apparently it has been for many, many, many years.
So, you know, parking and traffic, I don't see why that's even part of our program.
That's Erskine.
I appreciate the concerns of the adjacent property owners. From that picture, which is the one I was referring to before, it seems like there's been some activity in the area in the past. I do believe the applicant is attempting to be a good steward, not only of the resource, but also of the aesthetics and the neighbors. And I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Erskine.
Second.
Second by Mr. Sessions. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously.